Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important person here discussing a very important topic. Dr. Renata Prado from Vanguard Skin Specialists is here. We are talking about Skin Cancer Awareness Month. Doctor, it is so great to see you.
Thank you so much, Renee. Good to be here.
Everybody loves when you come on. So informative. And really, let's discuss skin cancer. Is it one of the most prominent, if not the most prominent cancer?
It is. Skin cancer is the most common type of cancer in humans. It's actually more common than if you combine all the other cancers, all prostate cancer, lung cancer, breast cancer. In numbers, skin cancer is greater than all cancers combined. So very prevalent. We estimate that one in every five Americans will get skin cancer.
One in five. In their life, one in five.
At some point in their life.
That is scary. And how many cases are diagnosed? So one in five. So how many cases are diagnosed every year approximately?
Every year, it seems like I've been here now for 3 years with you. And it seems like every year I come with... I tell you a different number because the incidence is increasing. And this year, we're estimating that we're going to diagnose in the United States, 2019, 5 million new cases.
New cases of skin cancer. That is incredible. And do you think awareness is also helping increase that number? Like people are more aware now and going to get checked for skin cancer?
Yeah, exactly. So a few things drive this number. One is people have more access to healthcare and we are better at detecting it. We also have an aging of the population. So that also increases the number. But the biggest drive for this increase in number is actually a preventable cause. Is actually exposure to the ultraviolet radiation by sun exposure or tanning bed use.
And we will talk about prevention a little bit later in the show. But so folks understand skin cancer, how can it affect their health, skin cancer? Because I'm sure some folks think, well, it's just a little blip on my skin. I go in, I have it removed, which in some cases, that can be.
Yeah, so fortunately, the vast majority of cases are treatable and curable, especially when they caught early. They will affect one's health by the fact that once you have a skin cancer diagnosed, you do require treatment, and we can talk about treatment options. But in one way or the other, it will require an office visit, potentially surgery, potentially a scar. And some more aggressive forms of skin cancer, or when it's diagnosed in a later time, will require much more aggressive treatments, and they could some... skin cancers do lead to death. So it is something that we have to be aware because there are aggressive forms of skin cancer. Even though the vast majority is treatable and curable, what we really worry about the small percentage that actually is what causes the big numbers in death.
And so how can somebody find out if they have skin cancer?
So any time you develop a new spot on your skin that is not healing, that's bleeding.
Interesting. Okay.
Scabbing. Commonly, they do that cycle of scabbing and healing and bleeding and then scabbing again and keeps doing that for a few months. If it's doing that and it's not healing, it should be investigated. Sometimes a little scaly patch on your skin that doesn't go away or it's not responding to creams or other treatments can be a sign of skin cancer. Some skin cancers can be tender. So a little, you know, quote-unquote pimple that's not healing, have a little tenderness to them.
Interesting.
Those can be a skin, instead of being like a pimple, that actually can be a skin cancer.
So it's not like it's a cut that's not healing up. It's literally something that kind of showed up on your skin, right? And it's kind of, like you said, scaly and not healing and bleeding, and that could be a good sign.
That's exactly right. But it's funny you mentioned that because many of my patients come to me and say, doctor, this is not healing, but I actually got a cut here and this cut's not healing. And it turns out, coincidentally, that cut was in an area that maybe had a little skin cancer starting there, and that's how it presented.
Wow. So, and are there other ways to look for possible, you know, I might have skin cancer? Obviously, come in and talk to a doctor.
Yeah, but checking your skin is important too. And if you have also a new mole, or a mole that you had before but now is growing in size or changing colors.
Okay.
That should be promptly
call immediately.
And specifically tell that you're concerned about a mold that's changing, growing, or changing colors, because that should really prompt you to be seen very quickly.
Okay. Now let's get into some of the most common types of skin cancer. We did talk, and we'll get more into this, but some obviously far more aggressive than others. But what are some of the most common types of skin cancer?
So the three main types of skin cancer, there are many others, but the biggest percentage of skin cancers are comprised by three main types. And a lot of people who are listening may recognize some of these names if they've had it before. So the most common, by far most common skin cancer is called basal cell carcinoma. Basal cell carcinoma is by far the most common. We literally diagnose every day in the office someone with a basal cell carcinoma.
Is it fairly easy to treat?
It's luckily the very easy and treatable, especially when caught early.
Okay.
The second most common type is called squamous cell carcinoma. And squamous cells are a little more aggressive than basal cells. They are also treatable and curable and caught early, but they do have a greater potential for spreading outside the skin into glands in the body, the lymph node, we call that a metastasis, and potentially death.
Okay.
And the third most common skin cancer in between the three, the least common of the three, is the deadliest skin cancer called melanoma.
Okay.
And melanoma is the one that is not as common as the others, but it's the one that is responsible for the vast great majority of deaths.
And it can spread and stuff like that, the melanoma.
Yeah, the reason why it's so aggressive is because of its potential for spreading in other sides of the body.
Goodness. Okay, so if are there signs for somebody, speaking of melanoma, that somebody can look at and go, oh my gosh, or are any signs that might indicate to somebody, like, okay, like, let's say melanoma specifically?
Yeah, so specifically for melanoma, there are exceptions, but usually melanoma is a brown spot on your skin.
A brown, okay.
There are exceptions. We do have the so-called amelanotic melanoma, meaning it doesn't have the brown pigment, so it could present as a pink spot. But for, you know, to be more general, the vast majority of melanomas, I would say, are pigmented, so they're a brown spot. Either they come from a mole that you already had.
Okay.
About 30% of them will come from a mole that you had in your body, has not been changed for a while, but then at some point starts growing, or it develops a change in color.
Okay.
Or most commonly, it actually happens within skin that was normal previously. So it's a brown spot that starts growing. And the signs of melanoma, people hear that often. We have the ABCDEs.
So hold that thought, the ABCDEs. Sure. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll go through the ABCDEs of melanoma and a lot more with Dr. Renata Prado next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking with board-certified dermatologist, fellowship-trained Mohs surgeon, Dr. Renata Prado from Vanguard Skin Specialist. Hello, doctor. It's so good to have you in today.
It's great to be here, Renee.
And May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. And before we went to break, we were talking about melanomas. And you kind of have an ABCDE, right, for detecting a melanoma. Is that right? Kind of an ABCDE of what to watch for?
Exactly. So okay. I think we were talking about melanoma being the deadliest skin cancer, and a few things help us identify something that could be suspicious for melanoma. So there is this acronym, you know, we call ABCDE of melanoma, and A stands for asymmetry. So asymmetry of a mole means if you have a mole or a brown spot and you were to half it, one half is not a mirror of the other.
Okay.
One half looks different than the other. So if you cannot half it and they not be exactly the same both sides, that mole is asymmetrical.
Okay.
Granted, not all asymmetrical lesions are melanomas, but that's a sign that we watch for.
Okay.
B stands for border irregularity. So the borders, the edges of the lesion is not regular, has maybe a little extension to one side, or just ill-defined area that you cannot just sharply demarcate.
Okay. Okay.
That's B.
Okay.
C stands for color variation or a difference in color. So it's not just that little homogeneous brown spot. You have dark brown, light brown, maybe black. So different colors in the same lesion.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
D is traditionally used for diameter, and traditionally it's been said that any lesion greater than 6 millimeters, which usually is the size of a pencil eraser, should be a little more, looked a little more carefully
in
those larger lesions. I say traditionally because dermatologists have been more and more diagnosing skin cancers as early as possible. So we don't let that number stop us. If a lesion is small, smaller than the pencil eraser size, but it's suspicious for melanoma, that's still, we want a diagnosis as soon as possible. So this diameter doesn't stop us from pursuing diagnosis.
Okay.
And we shouldn't wait.
Absolutely.
For something to grow bigger than that should be concerned.
Okay.
And last and possibly this is the most important one, because so far I talked about A, B, C, and D, asymmetric lesions with irregular borders and different colors and size. But these can happen in some lesions that are not melanomas. So the most important one that we think is E. E is for evolution or change.
So it's literally changing.
Yeah, the lesion is changing.
Okay.
And
so shape and size and color and all of it, is that what you kind of look for?
Yeah. And it's a spot that someone says, well, I used to have this little tiny brown spot. It's now twice the size. Now it has this different shape than it had before. It has a different color. I mean, that change is definitely something that really makes it more suspicious.
And Dr., you and I were talking in the break, and you said actually they are expecting for diagnoses of melanoma to be increased this year. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. We have an estimation that this year alone we're going to have more than 93,000 cases.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot of new cases, and we expect that out of those cases, 7,000 people will die from melanoma this year. It's a big number of a disease that, if caught early, can be successfully treated, and a lot of times even prevented in the first place.
So, is there like a main cause for melanoma and these other skin cancers that people need to be aware of? Like, is there like okay, being out in the sun all the time, like you're a sun worshiper, like we used to call them in the day, like can that lead to melanoma? Or what are some of the other causes for these skin cancers?
There are other less, impactful causes, and some genetic conditions and some exposures to some different things that cause skin cancer. But the most important one by far is exposure to ultraviolet radiation in the form of sun or tanning beds. In any way you get ultraviolet radiation on your skin, that's a known carcinogen, meaning something that causes cancer. It's actually considered a group one. It's in the group one of carcinogens. It's with cigarette smoking. It is along with plutonium, arsenic.
Wow. And I don't think people think at that level, do they? For that.
Yeah. This group has
those.
Just
being out in the sun.
Yeah, exactly. This group has heavy duty carcinogens, and ultraviolet radiation is in that same group. So it is something that we know causes skin cancer. So that makes it a very preventable disease.
And I know, and we have talked about this before, doctor, but the use of tanning beds, really, is it really playing a role in this as well? Very popular. Tanning beds are still very popular.
It's alarmingly popular. It's puzzling how popular it is. In this day that we have so much information, and it does play a huge role because we have a very large use of tanning beds. We estimate that about 8 million adult women and about 2 million men use tanning beds in the United States. It's a big industry, and indoor tanning is just associated with all kinds of skin cancers.
Really? So pretty much all of them can be attributed to tanning beds.
It's a very strong link.
So if someone, say, doesn't tan in a tanning bed, but they like to go out, and we all like to go out and catch some sun, some rays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also not good?
Well, not recommended. to be getting that direct exposure to the radiation on your skin. I'm not saying not to go out and enjoy the beautiful outdoors we have in Colorado,
right,
because that's, we are very outdoorsy, community. But the thing is to prevent exposure to this carcinogen by being smart about it. So be out in the sun, enjoy your time, but protect yourself. How do you do that? You protect yourself with sun protective clothing, hats, sunglasses. And lastly, we don't think that as a first line. We think that as the last thing is the areas that you cannot protect otherwise, then you use your sunscreen, which should be a sunscreen that has broad spectrum, okay, and has an SPF of at least 30.
Okay, at least 30.
At least 30, yes.
And before we have to go to break, Doctor, I know we've talked about this before, but I mean, sometimes you see like SPF 75, or I mean, is that really, are there really such things as SPF 75? Is it really effective? Because I've heard both ways. Like, it's really not. The higher the number really is not. I've heard it both ways.
Well, we say at least 30 because if you apply it properly, so if you apply the right amount that you should be applying per manufacturer's testing and instructions. And if you apply it frequently enough, anything greater than 30 should give you very good protection. But the greater the SPF, that means that the ingredients there will block a little more.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with having an SPF 75.
Okay.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if you like your sunscreen,
Follow the directions on how to use it, right?
Yeah, just use it consistently.
Perfect. Okay, we have to take a news break, and we will come back with more with Dr. Renata Prado next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with Dr. Renata Prado from Vanguard Skin Specialists about Skin Cancer Awareness Month. And, Doctor, we've talked about the different types of skin cancers. We've talked about what can cause skin cancer. And really quick, just to remind everybody, it's being in the sun and tanning beds can be a big factor in causing skin. Are there other also causes that can cause skin cancer, of course?
There are more. I would say they play a less row in numbers.
Okay.
So some cancers are caused by radiation from like radiation treatment. For other cancers, there are some carcinogens that can be people can be exposed that can cause skin cancer, and old scars, chronic ulcers. There are rare things that can cause mostly squamous cell carcinomas. But the biggest role is from ultraviolet radiation. And it doesn't matter how you get it, from the sun or from an indoor tanning bed.
Now, what we kind of touched on it at the beginning of the show, and by the way, if you missed the beginning of the show, you can go to our website, krdo.com, look under the radio tab and click on podcast, and you can catch the earlier part of the show. But we kind of touched on there are different treatments, but what are the specific treatments if someone is diagnosed with, and you said there's the big three main skin cancer types, right?
Yeah. So the treatment really depends on what type of skin cancer we're talking about, and even the location on the body that the skin cancer is, and even the subtype of that particular skin cancer. So the dermatologist will evaluate the diagnosis, the location, the subtype of the cancer, and with all this information together, we'll come with a plan of the best treatment for that specific lesion. And the treatment can vary. It could be a cream, a topical cream. Some cancers are treated by topical creams, all the way to surgery.
Okay.
So it really depends on the type. But just to give a few examples, so they can be treated with creams. There are a type of treatment called electrodissection and curettage, which is scraping and burning of more superficial skin cancers.
Is that to kind of get the entire area around it and stuff like that?
With that modality, we use a little curette to scrape the cancer, and we use electrocautery to quote unquote burn the skin. It's all done obviously under local anesthesia, so there's no pain involved,
right?
And that results in a little sore that heals within a few weeks.
Okay,
and in that specific modality, we don't have a confirmation that the cancer, we don't have a pathology report. We do to our, the best of the dermatologist's ability to treat it. So that modality, we actually follow the patient closely after that to make sure there's no recurrences.
Okay.
The modalities where we have confirmation, histologic confirmation, meaning it, the tissue goes to a lab and it's confirmed that the margins are clear, are excision, or the Mohs micrographic surgery.
Okay.
The difference between them, excision is when we numb the area that needs to be treated. We remove that skin cancer with margins. We put stitches and close. That tissue goes to a lab. And usually in about a week or a few days, we have results on that, on the margins.
Okay.
Most of the time, the results come back favorable, meaning the margins are clear and the lesion is treated.
Okay.
That's a great modality of treatment for skin cancers that happen on the trunk and extremities.
Okay.
For cancers that happen on areas that we really want to preserve normal tissue, such as the face, hands, feet, genitalia, these areas, we don't want to take that much margin. We want to very narrow on our margins. We want to make sure the whole cancer is removed with the minimal amount of normal skin being removed with it. So for that, for those situations, we use a different modality of treatment called Mohs micrographic surgery. And with Mohs, similarly, the area is numbed with local numbing. It's prepped. And we remove that piece of skin, which has a skin cancer and a thin rim of normal skin around it. In that situation, the patient actually is going to wait with a temporary bandage as we evaluate that tissue.
So it's almost literally real time.
It's all real time.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Mohs surgeon will take that tissue to the lab, and the tissue is processed. The Mohs surgeon is going to read the slides under the microscope. And it's the biggest advantage is that 100% of the margin is being evaluated at that moment.
Right then.
Around and under.
Okay.
If there is still positive cells in that tissue, we know exactly where it should go back because it's all microscopically guided. So we go exactly where there is still a little more and just take a little more. And we keep chasing the cancer all the way until we get it all clear.
So you just keep going out a little bit further, a little bit, if you need to, to make sure all the cancer is gone.
Exactly. A lot of times, the vast majority of times, actually, the cancer is removed on the first stage.
Wow.
And this way, when we look under the microscope, we confirm and look at the margins and confirm that the margins are all clear. At that point, the cancer is cured. And we're ready to put stitches.
I mean, that's amazing.
It is. It's a long day for the patient because the patient waits for all this to happen.
Right.
But once the patient leaves the office,
they're cured of cancer.
Yeah, they know that they know they're done.
That's incredible. That says a lot for that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's an amazing technique.
And did you say what Mohs stands for? The Mohs, as you are a fellowship trained Mohs surgeon, what does the Mohs stand for again?
So Mohs is M-O-H-S, and it's actually a last name. It's the last name of Dr. Frederick Mohs, who developed this technique in the 30s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this technique actually has been refined since he originally developed to what we do today. But the principle of the technique is what he envisioned, which is this ability to check 100% of the margins and do that in one treatment, really preserving, being very conservative with the amount of tissue that we remove. And that's a great technique for cancers, like I said before, on the nose, on the lip, on the eyelids, on the ears. We really don't want to take more than you have to.
Absolutely. Okay, we have to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Prado about what happens if you don't treat skin cancer. I don't even want to think about it. Also, let's prevent it in the first place, right?
Exactly.
We've got more with Dr. Renata Prado next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking with board-certified dermatologist, fellowship-trained Mohs surgeon, Dr. Renata Prado from Vanguard Skin Specialist, and we are talking about skin cancer because it is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. And we were just talking, Doctor, about some of the treatments, but let's be real. What can happen if somebody does not treat skin cancer? Because as we were talking earlier, some of these cancers can spread.
Exactly. Yeah. So skin cancer, once caught early, it's treatable, it's curable. So catching early is really important, and having it treated, it will really be important. But if something's not treated, and I get this question a lot in the office as well, like, what if I leave this alone? Usually what I tell my patients is, some skin cancers, most commonly the basal cell carcinoma, they are slow-growing cancers.
Okay.
So they will continue to slowly but surely enlarge in size. So eventually they become a little sore that doesn't heal, a little ulcer that causes, bleeding on the skin, scabbing. And if continue to be left untreated, it could eventually start invading surrounding tissue. So basal cell carcinomas don't typically spread to other parts of the body, but they locally destroy the tissue.
Okay.
So they start invading, they start on the skin, they start invading the next layer, which will be the fat or the adipose tissue, potentially going into muscle, bone, cartilage. So they can continue to progress locally.
Okay.
Other skin cancers, such as squamous cell carcinomas and, more importantly, melanomas, they can actually spread to other parts of the body. They can go to lymph nodes, and melanomas can actually go to other parts of the body and potentially cause death.
Yeah.
So easy to treat when caught early with high cure rates, something you don't want to keep growing on your skin.
Right. Obviously, if you have a question, you need to call a doctor immediately, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about prevention. And we've talked about how, being in the sun, it can be a big factor in this. It is a big factor. The ultra, help me there, my brain. The ultra.
Ultraviolet.
Thank
radiation.
You. And so what can we do to prevent it? Obviously, sunscreen is big. We've talked about that. But what are some other big things for prevention, especially at high altitude, doctor, because we're closer,
yes,
right, to
yes.
the sun.
We have here in Colorado, and especially if you go up the mountains to ski, we are receiving a greater incidence of skin of the ultraviolet radiation.
Yes.
So actually, it's estimated that every 1,000 feet that you go up, you have a 6% increase.
6%?
Yeah, in the intensity.
That's incredible.
So let's say you're in Vail, which is 11,000 feet. So if you're around 10,000 feet, you have 60% greater intensity of the radiation instead of, in opposed to if you were like at sea level.
Right.
So it's more intense here in Colorado. And the precautions and the way that we do to prevent actually, it doesn't change. It's the same thing, but you just need to be mindful of that and really practice good sun protection. By first of all, do not use a tanning bed. And if you're going outdoors, use your sun protective clothing. Avoid sun in the peak hours.
And the peak hours are, is that what, 3 to?
We say 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Oh, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So mm-hmm. that hot afternoon sun, is that not considered?
Well, it's still
part of, yeah.
It's still, you still get radiation.
Of course.
A lot of patients tell me, well, but it's snowing and it's so dark outside. Well, if it's daytime, you have radiation.
Right.
You are exposed. So the prevention methods that we're talking about are valid for all year round, any weather, any season, not just summer, not just when you go to the beach or go hiking, but it's your daily activities every single day.
Right.
The vast majority of ultraviolet radiation that we get is actually from day-to-day activities. Going to your car.
Don't even think of that, right?
Yeah. Driving,
sitting in there. And I think, Dr. I've talked about that before, is a lot of times, don't you see it on people's arms, their driving side arm?
Very commonly.
Yeah. So
the left side in the United States has a greater incidence than the right side.
Yeah, because that's where we put our arm when we're driving,
yeah.
Right?
Left ear, left neck, left cheek.
Wow.
The whole left side of the sun-exposed area.
Well, and it really is, doctor, because you really don't, like you said, just walking out to your car.
Yeah.
You're just standing outside and talking to your friends when you go to lunch, right? I mean, you really don't think about
it. Yeah, and it's cumulative. It's
right.
That little bit in
right.
itself, probably not that harmful, but it's that little bit every day. For decades.
Right. And if you don't have the protective clothing or you don't have the sunscreen, you can see out shade, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So just be proactive.
Exactly.
Now, if folks have a question or they have concerns about maybe they're seeing something on their skin, and what's the best way to reach out, get in touch, schedule an appointment? Because we've had a Before, doctor. I would think it was the first year you were on, and then one of the listeners came in, and yes, he had to be treated.
And he was diagnosed with actually melanoma.
Wow.
He listened to the radio and called me and came, and sure enough, he...
But he got treated and he's doing good.
He's doing great. I actually see him very regularly. He's doing wonderful.
That's fantastic. So if folks have more questions, concerns, would like to set up an appointment, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you? Or can they just go on the website too? And I think your website has a lot of info on there as well, doesn't it?
It does. I can go to vanguardskin.com or call the office. It's 719-355-1585. And schedule an appointment for any concerning lesions or for regular skin checks.
Right, absolutely. So let's give the number again really quick.
It's 719-355-1585.
And you guys have more, obviously, you have, like you, Dr. Board Certified Dermatologist, but Vanguard also offers other services as well that people can check out.
Exactly. It's a full dermatological clinic. So our main focus is skin cancer, but we treat any skin conditions.
That's fantastic. You're always awesome when you come in, doctor. Everybody loves it when you come on. So,
it's a pleasure being here, Renee.
We truly appreciate it. And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, Kirsten Akins, the author Kirsten Akins, going to be here. Going to talk about her new book, 100 Things to Do in Colorado Springs Before You Die. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.